Hello and welcome to the Way of Warrior podcast. I'm Michael Goss and we have an awesome show for you today. We're honored to have master trainer, leadership expert, peak performance expert, and the CEO of Way of Warrior Leadership Training, Scott V. Black. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, Michael. Excited to be here.
And of course, if you want more information about Way of Warrior or the leadership training, or you just want to connect with Scott, please visit wayofwarrior.training. That's wayofwarrior.training. And you know, Scott, one of the things that stands out to me is that you've set up this entire company because you're here to help people and equip people to fight their good fight. And so I'd like to start right there. When you say fight the good fight, what is it that you're talking about?
Well, see, that's the key. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me, so what is my good fight? And, you know, Michael, that is not something that I can answer for anybody else, but we all got to find out what is our good fight. I believe, Michael, the greatest of the battle is the battle for identity, because that identity, who we are, dictates what we do. That identity of who we are dictates what type of environment we hang out in. That identity of who we are dictates whether the end of the day or the end of the week, the end of the month or the end of our life, that we find value in the time that we spent and what we did with that time. So it's about figuring out what is your good fight. And the way to do it is simple. Begin with the end in mind. Like Dr. Covey used to talk about, your 7 habits of highly effective people. Begin with the end in mind. The question I pose to any listener is, when you get to the end of your life, what do you want said about you? And if you can answer that question within that answer, is your good fight.
So when you're talking about the good fight, and I know it's individualized, but I think there's some things that seem to be fairly common out there for us. You know, I can think about, you know, the good fight for my family. You know, I've got 2 daughters, I got 2 sons, and for me, that seems like a good fight to protect my family. And I'm not talking protecting it from, you know, an individual coming on my property. I'm really talking about protecting it and protecting them from, like you said, the bad ways of thinking, the bad mindset, that's a big part of that. But also, you know, in business, I mean, everybody's trying to take me down. I mean, talk about some of those big fights out there that are common for most of us that we deal with, at least in the business world.
Yeah, because, you know, Michael, when I say warrior, like guns and ammo, I always say, no, I'm not talking about guns and ammo. We have a world that's attempting to get at our kids at a very young age. You look at some of the things that are going on in kindergartens nowadays. Why are they happening? Why should that be going on? Why? Because we got a world that's working to get at our kids at a very young age. So I always say, if you got children, we got to be fighting for their innocence, because once they lose their innocence, there's no getting it back. If we're married, we have a world that you can just swipe right or swipe left. And boy, if you're married, you're probably more interested to someone of the opposite sex in today's world. And so we got to fight for the sanctity of our wedding bed to keep our vows. And, you know, I used to do a lot of work with Kraft Nabisco, which is now a company called Mondelez. And we used to talk about the battle for shelf space. And they would talk about, boy, those Keebler elves, boy, they get all the good shelf space. And they would talk about how nasty these little elves are. And they were fighting for shelf space. And so we got to fight the good fight. And what I mean by that is, all depends on the roles. If you're married, is your marriage worth fighting for? If you got kids, are your kids worth fighting for? If you have a livelihood that allows you to make a living and make an impact, is that worth fighting for? And my answer is yes.
Well, you know, you think about that, and it is absolutely yes. And you've really been on this journey helping people fight their good fight now for over 30 years. And I know the world has changed dramatically in the 30 plus years of doing this, but there's also some things that have kind of remained the same. And at the end of all of this, you've built your business on helping people learn more about themselves and about other people, because at the end of the day, no matter what business we're in, we're all in the people business. Talk a little bit about that, because I know one of the things that is your, I'm going to say it's your sweet spot, it's a real area of expertise for you, and that's the area of how we utilize emotional intelligence in fighting this good fight. And one of the things that you talked about in your trainings all the time, and one of the things I love about your leadership awakening, we'll talk about that here in a minute, but is you talk about what motivation is, that moving force. And inside of that word emotion is the word motion or movement. It's that energy that will move us. And you said it earlier, is there something in your marriage? Is there something in your family? Is there something with your kids that's worth fighting for? So talk about how the emotion of this and how passion plays a role in this good fight.
really emotional intelligence, that double helix there, that you take the emotional use of intelligence and the intelligent use of emotions. People are afraid of emotion. We've been told all our life, boys don't cry, or keep your emotions away from work, whatever it is. And yet we are emotive creatures. The good Lord made us emotive. Our brain stores data in the five senses. We have a sensory based organ called the human brain. Every single memory we have is stored in what we saw, what we heard, what we felt, what we smelled, what we tasted. There's only five portals of entry to experience, and it's the five senses. And so a lot of people are really confused about emotion, that it's inappropriate to have it here, it's inappropriate to have it there, and they're confused. And confusion really is the number one enemy that it works against us. Because when we're confused, we don't speak up, we don't step out, we don't act right. And so let's bring some clarity. The word emotion, to emote something is to move it. If I was a car guy, which I'm not, I would want to see what kind of motor you got in that car. Because what does a motor do? It moves that car. It makes that car go. And so that's what emotions are. They are things that make us move. Matter of fact, when you get down to what moves people, how to move people, because that really is one of the greatest assets of a leader. That is one of our number one things. We are motivators. And that word just means to move people. And that's what emotions do. If you look at the base motivators of human beings, it's something called neuroassociative conditioning. Tony Robbins worked a lot with this. NAC, neuroassociative conditioning. And what it says, Michael, is when you get right down to it, that there are only two driving forces in life. You're either moving towards something or you're moving away from something. You're either moving towards something you desire, something you want, something you like, something you crave, or you're moving away from something that you fear, that you don't want, that you hate, that brings you a lot of pain. And that's one of the problems. God allows us to have these emotions to move us. But in this world today, what we do, Michael, is we do something called self-medicate. What we do is we numb the pain. We pop something. We smoke something. We drink something. All to not feel. And yet God allows us the feelings to say, hey, there's a dis-ease here. There's something not right. And that's what pain is always meant to do. Bring our attention to something, that something's not right. Something needs to change. And so I'm going to suggest embrace the pain. Man, that pain's a great motivator. You know me well enough, Michael, to know that some of my pain from my past has driven me to do great things today. And like you said, if someone took my manual and had all the words that I supposedly speak in front of class, they couldn't do my training, because the pain and using that pain in a powerful, positive way moves me in a way that helps other people get moved in a way that is not easily duplicatable. And so we need to tap into the emotions, not avoid them. That's our power. Our pain can ultimately be our greatest superpower if we understand that.
Yeah, that's one of the really cool things about what's going on with Way of Warrior. I know just recently you just launched a brand new class called Emotional Intelligence. It's got applications all over the place. But one of the applications, when we really start talking about emotional intelligence, at least in the workplace, has to do with, you know, workplace interactions, but also dealing with clients, dealing with potential clients, customers, sales folks, and how emotional intelligence factors into that. Kind of talk a little bit about how we would make use of emotional intelligence in a work environment to really help create better outcomes in the workplace.
Yeah, and it really is, the key is emotional intelligence. And you know me, I'm a man of God first and foremost. I always say, you know, if you want to see the greatest example of emotional intelligence, you would just look at Jesus of Nazareth. Because Jesus had the right emotion with the right intensity at the right time for the right reason, directed toward the right person in the right way. And that really is what emotional intelligence is. It's the ability to sense, understand, and effectively apply emotions as a source of connection and influence. And so it's powerful. You know, we talk about selling all the time. You know, people always, you know, I don't care how good of a product you have or service you have, if something's not sold, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, I believe I do the best training in the world, but if there aren't what I call butts in chairs, my training has no value. And so the key here is sales, because the people that go the furthest of their life and career, they master what I call agreement gaining skills. Because I like to use sales as an example, because a lot of people think sales is a category. No, actually, we're all salespeople. Matter of fact, the greatest people in life understand that selling is nothing more than gaining agreement from somebody. See, that's what selling is. Again, going back to etymology, what does that word selling mean? Well, it means to gain agreement with someone to buy your product, your service, your hand in marriage, your belief in God, whatever it is you're selling. And so what I do in my emotional intelligence class is it's a unique training. The other trainings I do are 2.5 day, what I call intensives. They're trainings, which means I have a track laid out. And so all you got to do is show up. You don't have to figure anything out. Whatever I put in front of you, you just give it all you got. I'll take care of the rest. But the emotional intelligence class that I just wrote, we just did our first one last month. It's an incredible class. That is actually a class. That is means there's interaction. I'm teaching. We're participating. We're breaking into groups and practicing what I'm teaching. We're learning how to match and model and pace and lead. We're learning the basics of human interaction. You know, Michael, I've seen study after study, and all you got to do is Google them, you'll find them, that say that today's people entering the workforce are not prepared. I think I showed you an article a couple weeks ago. They're not prepared, and what are you talking about? We're talking about soft skills. What are soft skills? They are not like a computer programmer. They are not like medical school. Soft skills are really emotional intelligence, the ability to move through conflict, the ability to not be so easily offended, the ability to problem solve and conflict resolve. And that's what people are lacking today, because right now we got people marching in cities all over this country saying no justice, no peace. But here's the problem. We shouldn't be marching for justice. I personally believe that we don't get justice on this side of eternity. What we need is understanding. I have a saying, and I believe this with all my heart, but it says this: if I can understand you a little bit better and you can understand me a little bit better, doesn't it make sense we're in a position to have a better relationship? We don't need justice. We need mercy. We need grace. And if that's what we need, then that's what we need to be giving out. And so the emotional intelligence class allows us to slow down and realize that we have a lot more control. Quit blaming everybody else. We have control. Dr. Viktor Frankl said, between the stimulus and the response, there's a space. And in that space is our power. It is our freedom. Quit giving away your power. You don't have to react anyways. What we need is to understand, to walk a mile in someone else's moccasins. And in my emotional intelligence class, I teach you how to do this. I teach you the basics of neuro-linguistic programming, how to see things from three different perspectives, and each perspective gives you more information, how to get out of our own map of reality and to establish what's called rapport. And you never want to ever attempt to sell anything without establishing rapport. And rapport is an unconscious connection. And the way you do that is you get out of your own map of reality and you step into another's map of reality. You meet them where they're at. You don't need to agree with it. You just need to understand it. And so I teach people this. I teach people how to slow down the process. You know, our mind is 6 times faster than we can talk. We have 16 to 18,000 thoughts per day. We have 34 gigabytes of information that go through our head every day that would shut down most computers. So we have all this distraction. We only use 3 to 5% of our brain consciously. The rest is being used at the unconscious level. We got all this distraction, shiny object, squirrel, what? What? I teach people how to focus, how to be aware of what's going on inside them and what's going on inside of other people. And that information is priceless if you're looking to move people to a better place, which is what leaders do.
Well, you know, I came across a couple of stats earlier when I was doing a little research on this emotional intelligence, at least in the business environment. And I didn't realize this, but sales professionals that operate with emotional intelligence outsell their counterparts by more than 50%. And another cool stat is that research indicates that 90%, 9 out of 10 top performers across, and this is across all industries, they possess high levels of emotional intelligence. And so here's just a couple of quick things. For those of you interested in the emotional intelligence class, you can go to wayofwarrior.training to find out more of the information. But here's some of the key takeaways that I think are just phenomenal. Understanding and motivating buyers. Ooh, that sounds like a good one if I'm running a business. Identifying communication styles to increase closing success. You know, instead of talking, I remember my dad was a great salesman. I think I've told you a little bit about him. And one of the things he understood was it was always about the customer. It wasn't about what he wanted. It was always about them. And so identifying their communication styles and delivering information in their way, it's going to increase your closing success. How about fostering a team-first culture in the office? Unlocking intrinsic motivation and building a stronger team dynamic. I mean, this emotional intelligence class, Communicate with Power, is first rate. Once again, go to wayofwarrior.training to find out more information and to get registered. You know, I want to kind of dovetail off of the emotional intelligence for just a moment, because that's really the bedrock on which you built all of your training. There is a heavy dose of emotional intelligence throughout all of the trainings. But one of the things that really put you on the map is Leadership Awakening. It is still the signature class, training that Way of Warrior does and that you've been doing for all of these years. And it's the thing that got me, you know, nearly 20 years ago. This is going to sound, but this is what I needed. It was like a two before right across, right in my forehead, because I was so hard-headed. I was so into myself. I was so into what I was doing. I couldn't listen or hear anyone else. I mean, I really struggled with that. And Leadership Awakening, one of the things it did is it really woke me up. It's Awakening is such a beautiful title for it. And it's such a beautiful blend of what I would call very intense, really pushing me. I got pushed in that class more than I'd been pushed since I was in sports in high school. But I had never been pushed as a leader in my business, and it was a beautiful thing. I really needed and was very thankful once I received it. But there was a blend of that and then also the soft skills, this emotional intelligence side that was blended very beautifully together. Talk a little bit about the science of how you put that class together and kind of what you've seen over the years that people experience.
Yeah, you know, Leadership Awakening, it is my go-to class. It is, I can sit there and do that class and just take orders when I have for three decades. I mean, we have no sales team. We're just now establishing a sales team, Michael. You know that. And every single person for three decades that's been through my training has been referred by somebody else who had a life-changing experience. I don't know how many companies can say that, say three decades they've been around without a sales team just based on the product. And you know what's so cool about this training is this training is actually based on the Japanese training of Kinrishi Yose Gakko. You know, the people I had learned this from, they had been reading about this Kinrishi Yose Gakko, this incredible training from Japan, and it came to America in Southern California. They only did two classes, and it was too Japanese. It wouldn't translate well. But he went through one of them, the guy who I learned this through, and every night they weren't allowed to take notes. He would call home and basically dictate to the best of his ability every single activity they did, and they wound up kind of copying it, changing it. And that's when I came in the picture after they'd been doing this for, you know, 10 years. And I became their youngest trainer. I was made for this. My background, my military background, I have a cheerleading background at UNLV, theater arts major. So everything I had done in the past had prepared me for this journey. And after some interesting interactions, I wound up going on my own and started this thing 30 years ago with a company called Empower You, where I was just learning. You know, I had come from a very troubled past on my own at 16, an abusive childhood. My dad was an alcoholic and a very abusive man. And, you know, it was a lot of pain. And in the process of cleaning myself up, I learned a lot. I went to every training I could. I went to got my master's in neurolinguistic programming. I did a lot of things I would not recommend doing. I wanted to fix myself. And in the process, I basically took what I had learned from the Japanese and altered it. And what you had said was more spot on than you might realize. I added a lot of emotional intelligence. I took something that was done very intense, that was done very in your face, and I added an emotional element, emotional intelligence that forever altered the landscape, I believe, of the training realm. And that became Leadership Awakening. And for 32 years, it's been changing lives. I still get people reaching out to me that went through my training 25 and 30 years ago that said to this day they remember it. It has changed their life because I come at you full. I know how the human brain works, the body-mind connection. I use all science, transactional analysis, cognitive behavioral therapy, logo therapy, emotional intelligence, multiple intelligences. This is not opinion. This is not feelings. This is science. And I create an environment where each individual can take a 100% honest look at themselves. And the level of honesty, Michael, is in relation to how they can improve in every aspect of life to become a better boss, a better coworker, a better team player, heck, a better spouse, a better parent, if those are roles you play in your life. And so I get them out of their head because most people are confused. They don't know what's going on. They got so many thoughts and feelings going on. They're so wrapped up in the past or focused on some tomorrow that might not even happen. And very few people live in the now moment. And so through this process, I get people, I teach them an intense state of focus. I get them fully present in the now moment. I get them emotionally involved with who they are. Why are they here? What's your purpose? If today was your last day on this planet, did it matter one bit that you were given the gift of life? When this all said and done and you're ready to go and find out if there is a God, how do you want to be remembered? And so I get people emotionally involved. And then I have them create a mission and a vision. And we have a safe opportunity, Michael. Some of us need to clean stuff up. I had a lot of garbage from my past that I had to clean up. And I told you how traumatic my childhood is. But, Michael, you know me. And if my dad was still alive, or if I got a chance to see him, I would hug my dad. I would thank him. I would tell him, thank you for everything that you put me through, because without that, I wouldn't be playing at the level I am today. And so what my class gives people is a new beginning, where we can reframe the past, make sense of it, clean up some things if we need to, refocus on a better future, create a mission and vision, and get our heart reignited and our brain cleaned up and set them on fire. And that's what happens in Leadership Awakening.
and as a 20-plus year benefactor, and I've staffed a number of those classes, and I'm honestly speaking, there's nothing else on the planet that I've ever experienced that comes close to that. And I've had the benefit of being at some of the great trainers, or the great teachers, I should say, that are out there, and this, there's nothing else like this. So it's an awesome, awesome experience for not only you, but for me. I mean, it caused me to want to send as many people as would go. I would do whatever I could to help get them into those classes. And so once again, you go to wayofwarrior.training. That's wayofwarrior.training to find out more about Leadership Awakening or any of the other classes that Way of Warrior produces. And they're all outstanding experiences, to say the least. But one of the things I wanted to you said just a moment ago, you talked a little bit about your past and how it has prepared you and put you in a position for such a time as this, but you didn't always feel that way. There was probably a time when you didn't see your past as the blessing that you see it to this day. So talk a little bit about that and just talk about the process that you've gone through over the past few years that's allowed you to truly put that experience into the frame that it is today, and how now you can look on it with a smile, and it's a not a negative, but it's actually one of the great positives that you have that's driving you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for a long time, it was a very painful to even talk about my childhood. A lot of pain, a lot of abuse, a lot of me walking to school and saying, why God? I remember I used to, when people would see me walking, they say, I saw you walking, why's your head down all the time? Because I was talking to myself. I was talking to God. I knew why it was. Because I'd ask, why God? And a lot of pain. I did a lot of things I'm not proud of based on a lot of pain I had, a lot of hurt. I played victim pretty well. I learned that well in my childhood, how to be a victim, how to play the victim. And even when I got on my own, I started cleaning myself up. I had thought I dealt with most of it. But about a year ago, I had realized I had not dealt with a lot, that there was a lot of deep-seated identity issues that I hadn't dealt with yet, and I didn't realize it. I'd made so much change, Michael, because, yeah, anybody that knows me, for me to say today that I'm thankful for my childhood, they would do a double take. If they knew me from 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, it was my pain that drove me. I used that pain to make me a survivor. I used to call myself a survivor. I get through. And in all honesty, Michael, that served me well for about 2 decades because it allowed me to have a drive and energy. Sometimes we got to take that, and maybe God might call it a righteous anger. You know, I was going to prove myself. I was a wounded bear. I was always in the fighting stance, you know, come at me, I'm going to block and I'm going to attack. Matter of fact, most of my life, I basically stood up in a fighting position metaphorically. And it was only really over the last couple of years that the deep work I've been doing for 3 decades, God finally got to so deep down that I had to have a reckoning. I had to decide it was either time to go deeper and clean some stuff up or maybe go backwards. I decided to go deeper. And God called me to another level. And by the grace of God, he allowed a lot of the work I've been doing for 30 years to take fruition. The reframing, the NLP. By the grace of God, I can sit here today and say, yeah, it wasn't always this way. The thing I consider today is one of my greatest blessings for most of my life up until about a year ago, still. And I would not believe this if I would, a year ago, if you would have said this to me, I would have denied it. But really up until a year ago, my greatest battle was my childhood and what it did to my own identity. I didn't believe in myself, Michael.
You know, Scott, one of the things that strikes me about the process that you've been going through is that real change, and what you're describing is real, true change, and it only happens at the deep, deep levels. That's not easy to do, based in my experience at least. And I assume it's not been easy for you to go through that as well. Talk to me about the challenges that's presented and just how comfortable all of this change has been for you.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, because it's this comfort zone thing. There's a lot of words that we don't understand. And it's weird. It seems like people want this comfort zone, but we got to be really careful about what we want because we just might get it, the old saying goes. And there are three zones that we can live in, Michael. You have the comfort zone, but I'm going to suggest to you that's not a good place. And I'm going to suggest that it's a graveyard, that in this comfort zone, things go to die. See, there's a lot of people comfortably going to hell. And there's a lot of couples comfortably going to divorce court. There's a lot of children comfortably doing things that are going to destroy their life. And so the comfort zone is not where things go to thrive and drive and next level. The comfort zone is where things go to die. Our marriages die there. Our relationship with God dies there. Our passion for what we do dies there. Outside of that zone called comfort is what people are afraid of. It's fear. I always tell people, Michael, I can give you fear's address. It's right outside your comfort zone. And so when you step outside your comfort zone, you're going to experience this thing called fear. And fear is nothing more than an acronym. It's false evidence appearing real. And once you learn how to function in a powerful level in the presence of fear, it goes away. And outside that zone called fear is a zone called panic, which is intense fear. And you can function for a very short period of time, but you do not forge your mail because you'll fry your adrenals. What I've learned over three decades of human potential elevation, if you will, is that we got to keep pushing our comfort zone. So what used to elicit fear now becomes familiar. And what used to bring about panic now just brings about a little fear. And once you realize you can feel the fear and do it anyways, and then you keep pushing and expanding. And really, that's what happened in life. It is not comfortable. So please don't be, if you're going to change, move comfort aside. We've got to become comfortable being uncomfortable. I know that sounds dichotomous, but that really is. And that's, you know this, you've staffed enough times. That's what happens in our leadership awakening. When a shift takes place where all of a sudden people start getting comfortable outside their comfort zone. And so believe it or not, I did a lot of change. And yet I got comfortable outside my comfort zone. So to the point that I may change a lot of levels. You know, I talk about the logical levels, and there's six levels that human beings work with. And we have belief systems in all those levels. You know, bottom is environment, above that's behavior, above that's capabilities, above that's belief system and values, above that is identity, and then above that is spirit. And so I had dealt with a lot of changes in the behavior, in the environment, in the capabilities, and even in the belief systems, changed a lot. My relationship was God at the closest level ever. But what I didn't realize, Michael, is I had never dealt with that identity issue. See, by the time a child is 5 years old, we're told by Alfred Adler, famous psychologist, a majority of a child's map of reality is in place. Now, remember I told you when I was 5 years old, I was beaten on daily and for another decade after that. And so what I did is I constructed a belief system that allowed me to survive. That's what logotherapy is, that we are little meaning makers. Why do you think a little child always says, why, daddy? Why are they doing that, daddy? Why did that just happen? Because what we're doing is we're creating a map of reality. If A, then B, they're called belief systems. And by the time a child is 5 years old, a majority of that map of reality is in place. But here's the problem. When we're 30 and 40 years old, we're still running on a map of reality, a structured belief system that was put in place when we're 5 years old, and maybe at very adverse circumstances. And so one thing that I do, and I never did this for myself at the identity level. I had changed all the other five levels. But it was when I got to the identity level and realized that's the real fight. It was when I started shifting that all of a sudden the huge reframe came in about my mom and my dad, that they did the best they could with what they had, that God loved me enough to know my outcome, to know that I could endure a little bit of uncomfortableness for a short period of time so that I would have empathy to help tens of thousands of people who struggled. And Michael, you know this, I got street cred. I can go meet anybody where they're at. I know what it's like to not be enough, Michael. I know what it's not like to not be rich enough or good looking enough or tall enough or this enough. I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to question if you're lovable. And so I can meet people where they're at. And because I've been there but don't live there anymore, I can now put an arm around them and take them to a better place. That's street cred. And that's what happens in our training.
Well, and that's also something that you work with people one-on-one. And I know that's a big part of what you enjoy doing is working with people one-on-one. I know you have both therapy sessions where you deal with folks that have had some trauma and things like that, which you're obviously not only very versed in personally and having gone through it, but also as a practitioner, a master in NLP and different disciplines there, but also in the coaching side for people that are looking to take their business, take their life to that next level and beyond. Talk just briefly about those two elements, the therapy that you provide, but also the coaching.
Yeah. And really, when people ask me what's the difference, and really the difference to me is therapy is for a specific thing. It's very focused. A trauma, a drama, maybe a fear of rejection, maybe you have a struggle performing at a test or whatever. That is a specific thing. Or maybe there's a trauma from childhood that's reemerging. That's therapy. We can handle that 1, 2, maybe 3 sessions, a little follow-up. And basically, we only experience life one time, but then we codify it. And it really doesn't matter what happens to us. What's more important is how it's stored, how it's codified. And so what I do is I can go back with therapy and go back to a specific time on their timeline and deal with how they have that event stored, programmed, codified, if you will. And then what we can do is find a similar experience in their past where they went through something, but they have a great experience and codified to it. And so I do what I call mapping across. See, we're working perfectly. I didn't say we're perfect. There's only one perfect, but we're all getting the results that we've been programmed to get. And so what I do is help you figure out what is your unconscious pattern, because your unconscious mind is running the ship. And if you want to make any lasting change, you've got to follow the rules of the unconscious brain. And the unconscious brain says it really doesn't matter what happens to us. What matters is how do we codify it? How do we remember it? What is the narrative? And once you understand that, then we can just go back in and rewire that, what we call reframe that. And boy, everything changes once you change the frame on it. And so I did that with myself, and I do that in life with people under what we call therapy. That's usually a limited amount of sessions. Now, coaching is where I actually walk with people. I always like to do it post-Leadership Awakening. It's a great launching pad. And I have a questionnaire that I have people fill out. And basically, we start moving forward. Now, one thing I love about the Life Caddy or the coaching is it's different for each person. Because as we're going along, we might uncover a trauma. We might uncover something that needs to be dealt with. And then so we stop and we deal with that. But absent that, we might be setting goals. We might be implementing things, the commitments they made in awakening. But it's an ongoing relationship where we block off an hour once a week, a set time that is your time. And we have homework and I teach. And we basically, I'm your personal caddy, where I deal with what you need at that time and what you give me permission to do. But that is probably one of my favorite things to do is when I have coaching relationships. I always ask for a 3-month minimum. And many of the people I've coached have coached for a couple of years at a time because the relationship is so beneficial to them. They'd be silly to stop. So those are 2 different things. One's more long-term. One's all aspects of your life. And then when stuff pops up that we need to deal with, we can. The other one, therapy, specifically focused when there's a trauma or drama that you need to work with. Let's clean it up. The time is now.
The time is now. And for more information on coaching or therapy or Leadership Awakening, emotional intelligence classes that we've talked about, please visit wayofwarrior.training. That's wayofwarrior.training. You can also connect with Scott at wayofwarrior.training as well. Scott, one of the things that I wanted to have you talk about is you believe that that Way of Warrior and you specifically are really in a unique position in time and space, that you are created or have been created for such a time as this. Would you go a little deeper on that? What is it exactly that you're talking about? What do you see as the time we are in, and what impact do you see Way of Warrior having?
I don't know how to put this. I'll just put it very blunt. We're losing it. You know, we used to think a lot more. 100 years ago, we thought a lot more. Now we got AI, we have computers, we have technology. We don't think as much as we used to. Why does that matter? Because we have 78 organs in our body. The skin's the largest, the pineal gland is the smallest. But you know, there's one organ we have of the 78 that never has to deteriorate. See, every other organ has a 120-year lifespan post-flood. But our brain has unlimited plasticity. But here's the problem. There's something called atrophy. And if you don't use it, you lose it. And as I said earlier, it is right now, people go in the workplace, people with master's degrees, college degrees, all this business degrees, and they're going in the workplace and they can't work together. They can't move beyond conflict. They're offended by everything. They can't problem solve. And so they don't show up for work. They have a lot of sick days. When there's a Zoom call, they won't turn on their camera because they got insecurities. See, this is what's going on. We're told not to think anymore. We're told follow the science, and yet if you really study science, what they're telling us is not science, it's political science. And so we're told not to think anymore, we're told not to critically think, to creative think, and so we got a lot of atrophy going up in the synapses. And so people can't make life decisions. People can't make overcome obstacles. When people get fired or they don't get the job, they go and blame everybody else for something that happened instead of learning from that and failing forward. And so I believe today we think less than we have in a long time. And the problem is it's getting worse and worse because computers and machines can now do everything for us. And so what's going on today is people don't know how to process. They don't have emotional intelligence. They get offended by everything. It's called the bait of Satan. And a guy wrote a book like 30 years ago, and it said the spirit of offense is the bait of Satan. And today we're offended by everything. We're offended by what someone says, what they don't say. We're offended if someone looks us in the eye. We're offended if they don't look us in the eye. We go to work and we can't get along. We can't problem solve. We can't deal with a conflict in a workspace or a home space. I mean, we're killing each other. I just got this article, two Texas boys, age 7 and 12, taken into custody in connection with a woman stabbed. You got 7-year-old and 12-year-old kids attacking grown-ups with knives and stabbing them. It's a lack of emotional intelligence. We got kids killing cops and killing other kids, and it's bad. And I told you about a year ago, God called me back and said, man, it's getting so bad. I'm like, do you really need me here? Is it getting this bad? And God says, I'm going to call you Esther Black because you were created for such a time as this. You know, Michael, it's 32 years I've been doing this training, and I truly believe that it is more needed today than any other time. People are afraid. They don't know what to think about God. People are afraid to speak up, to disagree with somebody. People are afraid to speak up or speak out. People are afraid to be different. And man, it is needed. People are being shut down. Men aren't leading anymore. Men are confused. And man, when men stop leading, countries fall apart, nations crumble, families crumble. So I absolutely do believe that such a time as this, my training gets people on fire, allows them to clean up their thinking, allows them to resuscitate their heart, allows them to have empathy and emotional intelligence, and allows them a bigger picture that no matter what's going on, that tomorrow can be better. Because right now there's a pandemic, and it's not called COVID. It's called poor emotional intelligence. People are helpless and hopeless. And what depression says, Michael, is this: that today sucks and tomorrow will be no better. So people take their life and they do things that forever alter futures. But hope says this, Michael. Hope says no matter what's going on today, tomorrow can be better. And I believe as a leader, and this is the number one thing I push, our number one commodity is hope.
Well said. That is Scott V. Black, master trainer, leadership expert, and peak performance coach. He's also has this little side gig called the Way of Warrior Leadership Training. I want to say thank you so much for joining us on the Way of Warrior podcast. For more information about Way of Warrior Leadership Training or to connect with Scott, please visit wayofwarrior.training. That's wayofwarrior.training. Also, please like this show, give us a 5-star rating, and if you would, we'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment. So once again, thank you for joining us today, and remember, when you live life like it matters, it does. It's the way of warrior.